was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their backs confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls the string. It makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings. As the night falls in on a rising tide, look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride.
Welcome, 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 my friends. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer sitting in for Tom and Lori on Resurrect the Republic, being broadcast on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Thank you for joining us tonight. We're going to have Keith Jones with us from Kansas in a little bit. And I wanted to remind people that Tom is still incarcerated and still in need of phone calls and support. Call the sheriff of Lane County, Oregon. Call the vicars of Portland. We've given you the numbers before. We'll do that again before the night is over. I want people to keep Tom in their prayers. He's still in lockdown, I believe. I believe they floated a rumor about him being allowed to get out into general population for a little bit more. I haven't heard that actually materialize yet. So this is no time to be forgetting about Tom. Let's not get comfortable and complacent. I haven't seen the doors to any jails swinging open. I haven't seen the titles to people's private property being returned to them. I haven't seen, I haven't seen much at the grassroots, at the ground level, so to speak, since everything supposedly changed a few weeks ago. And I'm not trying to be in too much of a hurry. We'll give this new administration time. But we need to see this Patriot persecution immediately end. That should have been one of the first things that Donald Trump did when he got in office. Except a lot of this other garbage that's really not having an effect on the directly on the people who are being persecuted, the patriots of this nation, the real patriots, the patriots in the trenches, not the highfalutin, high-end, going to the gala ball in their tuxedo patriots and claiming that they're going to, return everything, make everything. I need to see the patriots in the trenches be freed from the persecution and the kidnapping that they're under right now. Tom LaGuevara is an abductee. He's a kidnapping victim. The government kidnaps people, period, end of story. And these aren't even agents of any government. These are agents of a corporation. They're privatized. They know they're privatized. They're running around playing this masquerade ball, this game, this Halloween-style game of, like, little kids dressing up in uniforms and carrying around these badges and saying, "Hi, I'm special needs agent so-and-so. Now you're going to do what I tell you to do because D.C. said this or Albany said that." BS. We've got to take this republic back. I saw one of the saddest things I've ever seen today. Driving around Western New York with a friend of mine, town after town after village after municipality, houses falling apart, paint peeling off, one property after another for sale, for sale, for sale, for sale, businesses boarded up with big pieces of plywood still in the window, as if it were literally Beirut in the 80s. I mean, or pick your third world nation. I mean, to compare it to, it was absolutely pathetic. Of course, the state police barracks was doing great, and the state police were driving around up and down every street they could find in circles, back and forth, turning around, going this way, that, everywhere they could to crawl up people's you-know-what and issue more tickets and destroy more people's lives by draining their wallet and draining their economy. And these towns in Western New York are literally dead. the town I live in, Angelica, which I'm fighting with, a nightmare over trying to get electricity myself, went from 1,500 people 5 years ago to 747 or 748 people today. 5 years, 50% reduction in population. That's genocide. That's the death of a republic. That's the installation of a banana republic where you have real good-looking, brand-new state police cars with bells and whistles all over them, writing tickets up everywhere, every street, cops down here, there, left every town, every... It was ungodly. And I just witnessed it. It was really stressful. It was very sorrowful to watch, and it made me sick to my stomach to watch these towns dying. No opportunity for any of the young people. 50% or more of the people on food stamps and welfare, and they have no other choice. I don't begrudge it to the people. Where are they going to work? I saw one factory, Saputo. That was it. And they employed maybe 50, 100 people, maybe max. And it's really sad to watch this republic dying, and I just had to share that with people today. I know I'm not all full of good news every night and feel-good stuff, but if you want good news and feel-good, go live in Disneyland. Go fire up a delusion somewhere and sit around and listen to all the sports and all the entertainment and all the lies on Fox News and CNN and ABC. And even many of these alternative media outfits now have completely given up on really resurrecting the republic, which is what we're trying to do here, coming forth with solutions such as the self-governing county, which is what Keith is going to talk with us about in a few minutes. Because we're about solutions here. We're about activism. We're not about reporting stuff that comes over the AP wire or Reuters or any of this other stuff. So I'm a little frustrated and in a very kind of sorrowful state of mind after seeing just literally towns dying before my very eyes. And there they are, the state police sitting, and I saw one trooper sitting in a parking lot. The three businesses around the parking, little scrabble little park, and I don't mean a parking lot like you would see paved and with parking spots. I mean a little spit of gravel you could fit maybe seven or eight cars in, and the three buildings around him all used to be former businesses in this little town. I believe it was called, Friendship, how's that for ironic? Friendship, New York, it's called. And there's the trooper sitting in the middle of three abandoned businesses because New York State and their enforcement henchmen and henchwomen in the state police taxed and regulated these businesses completely into oblivion. They're gone. They're boarded up. And there was three vacant little buildings that used to have thriving businesses, all gone. All the people are broke. The houses getting seized under tax foreclosures, houses they've owned for 25, 30 years have been in families, 50 years, more, 100 years, some of them farm families, all going broke. And there's the state trooper sitting gleefully amid three vacant businesses that have been destroyed by the state, sitting there like he's keeping people safe. They can't be under that delusion. It was really sickening to see this going on. 750,000 regulations on small businesses in New York State. And the Republican candidate for Lieutenant Governor, Sheriff Moss, who was running with Rob Astorino to try to defeat that bad guy Cuomo, which Cuomo is a very bad man. But the alternative was Sheriff Moss coming out and saying, we have 750,000. Here's a Republican alternative to the Democrats. Sheriff Moss, running for Lieutenant Governor against Cuomo, comes on the radio and says, we have 750,000 regulations on small businesses in the state of New York. Let's just enforce the ones we have and not pass any more. Well, I don't see how that's any type of, and this is a guy who supposedly calls himself a constitutional sheriff. Yeah, right, sure. I don't see how leaving the 750,000 regulations on small businesses in place, and we'll just put a halt and a freeze on it. I don't see how that's any solution to keeping businesses open and reopening the ones that have been destroyed in the state of New York. How a real conservative would have said, we have 750,000 regulations on small businesses in New York. The deck is stacked against the little guy. Why don't we repeal 749,000 of those 750,000 regulations? Because not one of them has anything to do with public safety or business workplace safety. It's all garbage. It's all hoops and hurdles that businesses have to jump over to do anything in this state. And it's being done by purpose, called design destruction. And they're literally destroying this state. And I know this is not unique to you know, to the country. This is going on everywhere. So you see the scam, you see the game in Sheriff Moss, who ran as a Republican, a good conservative. Let the marketplace dictate what's going on. All right, let the marketplace dictate what's going on. Let's have freedom of enterprise. Let's have smaller government, lower taxes. As if the Republicans are for any of that, they're not. And let's leave those 750,000 regulations in place. So the Republicans are the perfect blocker. They're the front line. You like football analogies? They're the offensive line. They're blocking and holding the position. They're holding those 750,000 regulations that are killing this state right in place. They're not going to repeal anything. No, don't repeal anything. Let's just stop passing new ones until the Democrats come in again and pass another 750,000 regulations on small businesses in New York State and around the country. So this is the scam. This is the game. Once again, as long as the New World Order will, the Republic will be destroyed, and the New World Order will love this new administration. They can keep the military-industrial complex going. Let's make the military bigger. Let's make America great. More bases, more stuff, more weapons for CENTCOM, blah, blah, blah. Number two, keep the drug war going. I didn't hear any talk about ending the drug war with Jeff Sessions. He's going to make it worse than Obushma, than Barack Obushma had it. It was better under him than it's going to be under Sessions. At least the federal government wasn't going after states that had legalized cannabis. It's up to the states whether they want to legalize it. Now Sessions is saying, now we're going to go after, the federal government's going to go after those bad cannabis states because good people don't use cannabis. Boy, I'd almost rather have Obama back in. Number three, keep the three-letter agencies going. I didn't see Trump liquidating any Department of Homeland Gestapo. He appointed a new Gestapo section chief. Rock on, folks. Great. Keep the tyranny afloat. Number four, keep the Federal Reserve printing the paper. Don't let Congress do it like it's supposed to, like Kennedy was going to return us to the legitimate currency. No, no, no. And, of course, don't talk about the Vicar Generals running the courts. That's where the real power is. And claim society, and let's continue claiming society as a victim. I haven't heard one prosecutor or one person in the Justice Department or anybody else challenging this notion that somehow society can be a victim. That's communism. I would argue that Jeff Sessions, as a federal prosecutor, making his living for decades off claiming society can be a victim, is nothing more than a hardcore communist. He absolutely is. Plus, for God knows how many number of years, he put the black robe on like a Luciferian and run around playing witch. Also claiming society as a victim, also loyal to the bar, Mr. Lions Club International, nothing more than an arm of the Freemasons. So anyway, let me welcome Keith before I blow a fuse. And maybe he can lead us to where we're going tonight, which is some solutions. The top-down fix ain't coming. I don't see it coming. I see a lot of distraction. Oh, by the way, building a wall is retarded. Anybody can scale it, breach it, go through it, cut through, or tunnel under. Why are we not talking about penalizing employers who put the illegal Mexican labor pool and all the other nations that are coming here illegally and unlawfully? Why don't we talk about penalizing the employers who put them to work? Could it be possibly because Donald Trump's enterprises employed a whole bunch of illegal labor? Could it be he employed a bunch of people from the 80s scam that Reagan legalized all these people who were illegal and all of a sudden it's legitimate that they're here? I don't think so. It's killing that combined with the regulation and the taxes is what's killing New York State, and it's why I just got about sick to my stomach driving around and watching the death of a republic. Are you kidding me? 1,500 people in Angelica, New York. Now it's down to 750, and the town board and the mayor and all these local prostitutes don't have a thing to say about it. They think it's cool, I guess. It's normal to watch genocide taking place in your own town. 50% population reduction in 5 years. So think about it. 1,500 people 5 years ago, 750 people today. 5 years from now, that means there's going to be, what? What's half of 750? Keith, 375, is my math okay? There'll be a couple of hundred people here in 5 years, and 5 years after that, so within 10 years, there'll be about 100 people left in this town, dead town. And they're doing it all over the country. And we don't hear any talk about like this coming from anybody in any position of quote-unquote authority. I don't hear the other talk show hosts talking about it. On this network, you do. But not on the other alternative media networks. Some of them very big names and have a lot of products to sell. 4 minutes of talk, 11 commercials, 3 minutes of talk, 15 commercials, 2 more minutes of talk, another 9 commercials. You ought to value this network, folks. It's commercials at the bottom of the hour, a couple at the top, and then a few more at the bottom of the second hour, and the rest is chock full of information, education, enlightenment, alerts, activism, etc. And I'm not tooting our horn. We're doing the best we can. And I will say this network is doing a lot better than most of the other ones are. Anyway, Keith, are you with us, my friend?
Yes, I am.
Let you comment on anything I said for a while, and you just take it away. I'm going to take a break here for a couple minutes.
Okay. Well, let's back up with a comment that you made about all the illegal immigrants that have been coming in, because one of the comments that they made was all these were originally supposed to be protected to be able, and because of that, they could force the employers to hire them over American citizens. But the thing is, again, and this is where we've really got to get on the ball with several things and understand that originally laws were made, and if they didn't like how that law was done, they would abolish it and rewrite it. Okay? Well, the law that was supposedly to protect people in jobs and all the other fun parts of it was a affirmative action law that was passed in 1964. Well, if you read and dig into it, guess what? There's nothing there to protect them. But see, it's just like everything, all the other lies we've been told all our lives. People don't do the research. People don't do the looking. And they come up and they say something, and we believe what they say, so we follow through with what they've said. Real simple, real easy. Okay? One other thing I want to touch on first before we get into that, I don't know where else it's going to lead us, but we got to understand something else that's very important, and this is the fact that we're not U.S. citizens, folks. The 14th, 15th, and 16th Amendment was never ratified. But see, again, they told us all these lies, they passed a law in 1935 that takes our birth certificate and turns it into a corporation. They do all this stuff. But you don't do any research, what are we going to believe? It's just like taxes. The original tax bill, 1913, the very, very first paragraph, it says all taxes are volunteer. How much more simpler can we make it? Okay? Now, I bring back and go back to the comment of the 14th Amendment. About a week and a half ago, they went through and were no longer part of the UN corporation. So that means we have the right and we can go back now and go to the Constitution and go back to common law. Now, with that said, we have to...
Was that H.R. 193 you were talking about?
No, I'm going to get to that in just a minute.
Okay.
Okay? But from there, we have to understand that, what was I going to say? Oh, that we have to educate these people and have them realize that we're no longer part of the corporation, of the UN. But at the same time, we have to understand that the Constitution, and in the Article 1, it even says, if you're not happy with the government, abolish it and make another one. Makes it pretty simple. Right in there, folks. Article 1. Okay? Now, with that said, if you read the Constitution, it's very heavily into courts, because that's the way the British Empire is run, is by courts, so they can take and get all these different, what do you call them, loans, or however you want to say it, for a court. So the more that you're in court, guess what? The more money they make off you. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the second part that I wanted to get into, and Eric brought it up, got a little ahead of me, is earlier this week we passed Congress passed a law called H.R. 193, which goes right along with this and confirms and makes it no longer we're under, I call it British rule, for better lack of word. We are now actually a free country. We are now can go back, and if you study a little bit of this new republic, all it is going to be is a repackage of the old under the USA Incorporated, because that's all everyone knows. Very few people have done any major research and understand how to bring this country where it should have been from 1620 into 1760, when there were three types of what we call self-governing. British was the original. Of course, that left the Brits in control of us. There was proprietary, which left part of it was still we'd be controlled by the Brits, and the charter. And the charter is makes us separate from everything. We control everything. Okay? A good example is right now, cities rely on heavily for one thing that everyone needs, and that's water. Okay, well, there's technology out there, folks. I can put a technology deal in front of your house, and it'll purify it. You have pure natural water. You go through your house, you have what you call gray water and black water. I put a machine out there. The water's so pure, they use it and drink it when it's done. What do we need I call it a sewer system for? Just took care of it. Technology just took care of it all. How many dollars and thousands of dollars that get away from the city from skimming off so they can sit down and say, well, we're going to have this, we're going to have this and this, the whole thing. Well, they're just shot out a bunch of money right there in the spot. Okay. Another big example, we were talking about, Eric talked about the drug war. Well, the drug war is actually being shut down very quickly in many ways. Okay. Second day Trump was in the office, or that Saturday, he took a turn around and fired every ambassador in the world. Ouch. That just made it real tough.
Keith, explain to people, how that affects the drug war, because some of our listeners may not realize that.
Go ahead, I'll let you.
It's the State Department is the largest, and the CIA are the largest importer of drugs. Just listen to what Bo Greitz said in his interview when he went back to Vietnam after the Vietnam War to try to get POWs. He wasn't successful in finding any prisoners of war, but he found out a lot about the drug running and was told by the general that was the drug lord over that entire area of the Golden Triangle, so to speak, that he was just about to ship 900 tons of heroin to his contacts in the State Department and the White House. And they're using the CIA to bring it in. Under the cover of national security, and they use the troops to guard the opium fields. You can see it right online. If you Google Geraldo Marines Afghanistan, you'll see the U.S. Marines guarding the opium fields in full battle gear, patrolling the opium up to their chest in poppy plants. No joke. It was like some surreal militarized version of the Wizard of Oz or something. And there's the colonel of the 3rd Battalion, 6th Marines, with his men right there, giggling and laughing. Yeah. Yeah, well, we don't really. He didn't give a crap that he was facilitating a nightmare for people and a nightmare for the tyranny that we're living under, because that drug war is precisely what's keeping all the violence. So neocons and pseudo-conservatives and pseudo-Republicans, he'd come up and say, we got to get tough on these gangs and this drug war. There's so much violence with drugs. Yeah, you want to know why? Because the government stuck its nose in it and has reinstated a new substance to have a war against, just like they had alcohol under prohibition. They've reinstated a new prohibition with a different substance, and it's entirely because of the government and all its narco investigators and all its narcotics henchmen and all its drug warriors and all these special ops exchanging with Mexico, and Trump was all for that. So, I mean, I want to see the proof in the pudding. I want to see people stop getting incarcerated. So, Keith, I just wanted to clear up how firing diplomats and ambassadors may be a good thing, because if they were participating in the drug running, which I'm sure they were, they wouldn't have had that position if they weren't. That may be a good sign, but, you know, once again, I want to see this. I want to see the trickle-down freedom. I want to see the trickle-down effects of what Trump's doing, and I'm sorry to be in such a damn hurry, folks, but, you know, the clock has ran out, and right now there's no more time. Things have to happen quickly to restore and resurrect this republic, or there's going to be no hope whatsoever. We'll be so far down the toilet that the youth won't know what freedom is, older people will be dying off. This generation, the younger generation, is basically living off its parents' wealth right now. There's not a lot of work out there. Unemployment's at 25, sometimes 30% in some of these small communities or more. I mean, where's anybody going to work? They'd have no place to work, and the answer is they leave. And that's why this town that I live in, Angelica, has gone from 1,500 to 750 in 5 years, and it's disgusting. And nobody seems to have a problem with it, which is even more disgusting. Go ahead, Keith.
Well, what I was going to pick up on is also he turned right back around and went to the CIA and made it very clear to them that they can clean up their act, or he's going to go through and start firing all of them. That talks about the corruption. That talks about the drug deal, the whole thing. And then right after that, a couple of major articles came out that said that the Clinton Foundation is real close to being ready to collapse, too. I mean, the drug war is being won in some ways, but like Eric said, we have to see, well, that can be done. And this is something we have to get on board and understand that it's going to take us to work and help put together and then do what needs to be done for this drug war and for a lot of the other stuff. But in order to do this, we have to be educated. Okay? A good example, I bet 90% of the people here listening, Eric, when a law enforcement officer comes and stops you and you've done nothing wrong, what's the first person thing that everyone's going to do when he walks up to him and says that he'd like to see the driver's license? They're just going to see it. There's nothing that states that you have to let them see it. Okay? The Supreme Court a year and a half ago upheld a deal that says that you do not have to have a driver's license to travel on the highways and byways of this country. And the reason why they did that, Obama did that, because a lot of the people who are coming in here that spoke Spanish couldn't even understand their simple English or their simple Spanish language, so he had to do it so they could have a driver's license and get around.
Yeah, but I'm sure if you're
let's wake up to some reality here, folks. Okay, so yeah, we have this whole thing, and at the same time, you have an officer here who's impersonating law enforcement, and if we were doing it, they'd slap us with on the handcuffs on us. But it's okay because they do it. They're also impersonating the government. Where is the government? Hello. Okay, you want to take one step farther? Where you can ask a request to have their see their oath of office and their oath of what is it called?
Their bond.
Yeah.
Which is an insurance policy.
When you come, they stop you. You have you ever asked a law enforcement officer for their bond or for their oath of office? I've never heard anyone say it. And if you want to be a real pain in the butt, I'd like to also see the last 7 years of your IRS too. And they're going to look at you, no, you're a public officer. I pay your
Keith,
salary.
Keith, hold that thought for a second, folks. We have a break coming up here. Notice you just got 30 minutes of power pack with no commercials. Do support the sponsors of this station and support your activists. We'll be right back. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer. We'll see you on the other side of the bottom of this hour on the RBN Network.
We're going to redistribute when we make our pay tax. Hey, sit down, don't be a jerk.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Would odors, mold, and mildew describe your basement or crawl space? It doesn't have to be that way. Transform them into a fresh, healthy, usable one with the technologically advanced Wave Moisture Control Units. The computerized operation maximizes moisture control and also expels harmful radon, combustion gases, and numerous other pollutants. Dehumidifiers are old technology that do nothing for air quality and waste energy. Wave units are intelligent, self-monitoring, do not need maintenance, and will save you hundreds in electricity. Wave units are still running effectively over 15 years. They've been tested and installed in public and military housing and by property managers nationwide. Buy a unit now, and if your home is not fresher and drier, you can return it for a full refund for up to 12 months. What have you got to lose? Call now. 1-888-618-WAVE. 1-888-618-WAVE. Or visit mydryhome.com. That's mydryhome.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Welcome back, my friend. Welcome back. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer. I wanted to remind people you're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. This is Eric sitting in for Tom. Lori cannot be with us tonight. She said she's going to be back tomorrow. So we look forward to that. Hope I can keep everybody in the loop in her absence and in the absence of Tom. Bring some things to the table that just need to be said. And that's all there is to it. I'm not hearing them said anywhere else. You know, this whole thing that one political party and its operatives are going to save us from another political party is absurd. I worry and about, you know, the new administration, because I see it being run like a business. And it should not be run like a business. It's not supposed to be a business. It's supposed to be a government. Hello? Remember public servanting? Remember public service? This is supposed to be a public service. Yeah, you could get paid and make a bunch of money doing it. But rip everybody off completely, put them in total slavery, and then sell the country to foreign investors. And that's why every time I hear the shareholders, the stakeholders, the shareholders, you know what it is? That's the Vatican. That's the Vatican Bank and the bankers in London and the Rothschilds. They own the paper on everything now, and the idiots in New York State, the New York State police henchmen, actually think that it was legitimate what they did in 1968, which was called Eshiat, and they did it by constitutional amendment to the New York State Constitution. Eshiat, E-S-C-H-E-A-T. Look it up. It's the reversion of property. That means the reverting. That means property, all private property, goes back to the state. They just, with a stroke of a pen, the attorney prostitute bar members said, oh, great, we're going to pass a gun. The people are so stupid, they're wrapped up in the Vietnam War, they're not paying attention to what's going on locally. Look over here while we're at the right hand, while we do this with the left hand. And in the dark of night, so to speak, with teacher's tenure and protection for yellowfin fish, they snuck Eshiat, which is the reversion of private property to the state. So now people actually that work for the state say, hey, well, we legalized the stealing of all the private property in this country, so it's legitimate. And there are people who are stupid enough and will go out and act on that, thinking that it's actually a legitimate lawmaking maneuver to steal every piece of private property in New York State and return it to the state. I didn't sign off on having my property that assigned and given to the state. That's not a lawful. It doesn't apply to anybody today. Who the hell do they think they are? They come in and say, we just legalized stealing of private property in a country that was founded on a tax revolution and private property rights. How insane is that? And every small town in this country is being destroyed right now. The globalists, well, you know what they want? Under UN Agenda 21, they want everybody in the cities. They want everybody off the land. I had a gentleman with a very close contact in the globalist community tell me that the plan, very simple. Eventually, he said, America is going to be one giant park, and everybody in the nation, everybody in the country will get a check from the government. That's their goal. That's why they're killing these small towns. And where do people think the food comes from? Monsanto doesn't do any farming. It just patents seeds and tries to own the rights to grow the stuff. It doesn't produce anything. The New York State Police don't produce anything. Neither does any other state police agency in the nation. They certainly don't enforce any type of public safety. There's no such thing as law enforcement in a free republic. That's in the military. We have peace officers or we have thugs running around like giant children in Halloween costumes playing policeman. And it's not funny and it's not a game because they're destroying people's lives and they're destroying entire communities. They're participating literally in genocide. I'll say it again. The town I live in had 1,500 people 5 years ago. Now it has 750. That's 50%. 750 people fled this one little town in 5 years alone? That's genocide. That's not by accident. That's not by natural osmosis or any other natural occurrence. It's absolutely engineered. And the henchmen and henchwomen that enforce this should be put to the gallows or in prison, best case scenario. I'm sick of it. They're just this stuff that they can destroy people's lives and we're just going to smile and go back to the ballgame. Meanwhile, state police are running a card game, a Texas Hold'em card game, which is illegal. They bust everybody else for it, but they're running one of them. They got... Let's just say it's downright evil what's going on. Before I go on too far, Keith, why don't you come in and let's get to some solutions now. I want people to remember this show stands on Scripture, Psalms 94:16. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers in the government and the corporations? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? All throughout your local, state, and federal government. We have to do it or the republic's dead. Your average person out there is so stupid and mindless, they're running around pretending the glass is half full. Think positive thoughts and everything will just happen that way. This is why we're in the cesspool and the crap that we're in, because delusional morons who didn't have enough guts and courage to fight evil said it doesn't exist. No, if you just think good stuff, that will manifest itself, and all of a sudden the world will be great. No, it's not. Satan took over because the good people of this country did nothing. I mean, and I don't mean everybody. There's patriots out there who went down clawing and screaming and fighting to the death. And I mean patriots. Patriots like Tom. Patriots like Clive and Bundy. Not talking about the corporate hit squads that put the flag on backwards and go on their shoulder and go over and guard the opium fields in Afghanistan. Those aren't patriots. Those are corporate hit squads. Sorry, guys of the military. Get your ass home and start defending us against enemies domestic. Go ahead, Keith.
Well, I'm just going to pick up what I started before the break, is that, you know, they don't like the fact that you can request and ask for their income tax. Well, you're the one that did elect to go into public service, not me. You want to be in public? You got to be in public. It's all going to be available. And also, I'll take one step farther. You're walking down the street, and I don't know how many people I've seen this happen, is that law enforcement will randomly say, well, I'd like to see some ID from you. Well, am I being detained? No. Well, then I guess I have a right to leave then. No, you can't leave. They go, well, then the only way you can see my ID is the assumption I have done a criminal act. We've got to learn what we can do and what we can say and where we go, okay? Now, let's talk about a couple of things otherwise. Pick up on something I just was doing before we had the show. Was one of the things I've been looking at is the big push what we're going to do for alternative fuel across the country. And I was real surprised. I'd heard rumor of this, but I had not done a lot of research. Toyota released a car in 2016 that does not use gas. It's hydrogen. It gets 315 miles per fill up.
I've seen prototypes of that. It works. It splits out the hydrogen from the water, and it fuels it with almost no heat released.
Well, so this is not a prototype. This is an actual vehicle. They are in full production right now.
They just released
in 2017.
Going back 10 or 12 years ago, I was working for a contractor, and we got the gig to do some interior remodeling at a place called Delphi Automotive in Honeyoy Falls, New York. And you pull in, and the place is entirely blacked out windows, no signs, no description of what it is, no name of the company, nothing. Two buildings with blacked out windows, and I walked in, the doors behind me closed, the doors in front of me hadn't opened yet, and I was in this, like, secured lobby area with two guards, obviously I had my work clothes on, and they asked me a couple questions. I was in to do the work. Right in the lobby of Delphi Automotive was a Chevy S10 pickup with a fully functioning hydrogen fuel cell motor in the box behind the cab. It wasn't up the battery. I think they had the battery pack up under the hood where the engine would conventionally be located. And the hydrogen fuel cell unit was kind of in the box right behind the cab. Oh, it was running, ready to go. And all of a sudden that just disappeared. But it got so close to reality. And so close to giving people, the technology that would, A, save the environment, B, save the economy, C, save people's lives, and just bring put the whole the country back on its feet, that got shut down real quick. So, once again, the technology that Keith's talking about is definitely out there. I've seen it functioning. Over a decade or two, they've had, functioning vehicles ready to go out to be mass produced, and the powers in control at the helm right now, they don't want to see any of that free technology coming out to get to the people. So we'll see what happens. I mean, go ahead, Keith, pick up again.
Well, I just going to mention the company, the same one who are making these, did the same did the Toyota Priest about 12 years ago. They're the original person, the company that did the crossover. And everyone said, the whole thing. So, I mean, they've been ahead, and then after that, everyone else started getting on board. So they've had a record of being ahead of the game in a lot of ways, okay? So now this is pretty well exclusive in California, where they have all the hydrogen stuff at. But they're working on rollout to do this across the country. And, again, the thing I look at, and I look at this from a point of view where, when I lived on a farm, one of our biggest concerns was of gasoline starting to fire. Well, how can you have a problem with hydrogen starting to fire? It's just going to dissipate, and even if there's no toxic cloud, it's 3/4 of this country, or land, or world, I should say, is actually made up of hydrogen of some kind, or some form. So how is it going to hurt anything? Okay, now I bring it up for another reason, though, that's why. Two things that I bring up, which is the fact that one of the things that last year or year before, a gentleman who owned a gas station sat down, and he wanted to get away from all the taxes, the state tax, the federal tax, from the gasoline. So he said, okay. So he put a deal up in his window of his gas station and said, okay, I'll charge you 20 cents a gallon for fuel or a trade-off for gold and silver. Okay? the thing is that they cannot charge you tax for commodity for commodity. And right now, Utah is the first state that's working on making gold and silver 100% legal tender.
That's awesome.
Great
I think
deal.
Utah already has a statute in place that requires a business to accept payment in silver.
Right. Right. And see, the benefit is that with that is, see, again, Trump, as soon as he went to office, he put us back on the gold standard, which Nixon took us off of in 1972, which is the same thing Kennedy was trying to do with what we call the silver certificates. If you find a silver certificate, there's actually, depending on what you get, a $2 or $5, there's actually a $2 or $5 little piece of silver in that actual paper. Actually a commodity. Even though it's paper, it's still a commodity because there's silver in there.
Yeah, it's closer to barter.
Yeah, exactly. Now, with all that said, let's go to a little bit touch on the thing that you mentioned earlier. And I'm not going to get a whole lot of details. I'd rather actually have people ask questions, but I would like to throw out just a couple of things about this. And if this works out, by the way, everyone, we may have a larger platform to work off of as well. I've got to wait for a couple of things to happen, and if that happens, then we'll have a lot bigger platform to work off of. There is a county I have found here in this country that is 100% non-incorporated. In other words, it's the government has no control over it. Okay, it's not officially a county because it's not incorporated. The cities inside it are not incorporated. I mean, the whole thing. Okay? So with that said, let's bring up a couple points with it. I was talking to a person that lives out there, and he had a person within that county that had what we call the right to travel license plate. Not the license plate you have in your car. It's the right to travel. Okay? You drive, that's a privilege. Travel is a right. Okay? So he had the right to travel license plate on his car. Law enforcement pulled him off and wrote him up a ticket, said he didn't have any license plate. You know why he didn't have a license plate? Because they took it off of his car and confiscated it.
Yes. Nice.
Now, that means that it's classified as racketeering and extortion. That just doesn't make the deputies guilty. That also makes the sheriff, because he's in charge of making sure the deputies do their job correctly. Take care of that law enforcement officer, the part, doesn't it? Or take care of that county. Okay. So, yep. With that, then would be a matter of them coming in and setting up what we call self-governing county. Now everyone says, well, you know, what's the thing? What you have to do, basically in English terms, is three to five people. I work with that number quite often, but it's pretty well, as long as you have an odd number, that's fine. It's just the more people you have, chances are the odds you're going to have more problems with people disagreeing with what's going on. So if you find three to five people, you don't want three to five people who are the quote-unquote powers of the city, okay, or the county. You want people who are everyday people, the working class. Because they're the ones who this a lot is going to have to go and work around, okay? They set up themselves a charter, write up a charter. And charter is nothing more than an actual business plan in many ways. It's an active, ongoing document. Okay? So what you can do with this is set up the survey where the county's at, put together the lines, put that in the charter, okay? Tell them how you're going to run the government within the self-governing county, which in most cases, again, are three to five commissioners. Okay? And again, you don't want these people to be the prejudice or the elite group of people. You want these to be the working people deal. And they're not there for a lot of stuff. They're there for only to oversee what's going on. Okay? And then from there, you sit down and, you know, you take over your schools because the Department of Education is not the legal entity anyway, under the federal government anyway. Okay? I told you how to get rid of this sewer deal. We call it the under the income tax laws, which again, by our way, IRS is not on the American soil. It's in Puerto Rico, which is part of the crown. Okay, and if you do a little more digging and research, you'll find it's run by a bunch of lawyers who are all part of the American Bar Association, which again are not even supposed to be here. They're supposed to be legal counsel for the King and Queen of Westminster, Andy. What are they doing here?
That's right.
The law to us. Okay, so here you have this vicious circle. If you know how to do it, you shut them down. Okay, but one piece of that law says they can put no direct tax against a person. Well, I would say property tax is pretty close to a direct tax.
Sure it is. And I know a gentleman here who's a disabled veteran. The only income he has are several rental properties. And because he's a couple of years behind on his property taxes, the county, Allegheny County, New York, is about to take from a disabled veteran his only source of income. I think he's got three or four or five rental properties. It just, you know, with all the maintenance he has to do and the people who stiff him on rent and the regulations he has to jump through with handicapped bull crap and all this other garbage. And I'm not begrudging handicap accessibility. Unfortunately, in many situations, the requirements for handicap accessibility construction are so excessive that we're talking $10,000 to $12,000, $15,000 to remodel a house when you could just, you know, so the inspector can come and say, oh, you got to have this 2.5-inch steel instead of 1 3/4-inch steel. I mean, things that are just unreasonably excessive. Whereas you could put in a simple handicap ramp, and if you had somebody who was blind or hearing disabled, you could make an accommodation for them as well. But to have these hoops that the landlords have to jump through when they don't have any disabled tenants, and they may not for several years. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm not saying deny the handicap to accessibility because that's extremely important. Keith wouldn't be here if I didn't have a severe like and desire to help the disabled community, because they're getting stiffed and shafted. No matter how much money the government takes, they always squander it. It never makes it back to the disabled people. And then they want the landlords to pay for improvements that they can't afford, successfully putting them out of business. That's just one of them. The fire stuff and the code, and your gutters have to be there. There's some municipalities that even dictate the color of the house. That's how far it's gone. So anyway, the Allegheny County, New York, is about to take this man's rental properties and give him no money if they auction them off. There's only three counties in New York that if they seize your house under a tax foreclosure, there's only three counties that will, if they auction your property off, they will give back to the person they stole the property from the rest of the proceeds over and above what was owed for the taxes. Only three counties do that. The other 50 counties in New York, I think there's 53 or 54 counties, 50 out of the 54 give no money, just take the house, sell it, auction it, and the county keeps all the money from the property, giving him nothing. He's had these properties for 25, 30 years in his family. They were left to him by his parents. He did his service in the military honorably. He had all kinds of different functions in the military. He's a sweet heart of a man, good Christian guy, helps people out wherever he can at his own expense. I mean, he's a real model. I hate to use the word citizen, but he's a model human. He's a model man. He's what we should all strive to be. Served honorably, very generous, very kind-hearted, reverent, believes in the Creator. I mean, you know, just a decent guy. He's about to be put bankrupt because he can't afford to pay rent on property that he's owned all his life. And the pigs who wear the uniforms in this state are going to go steal his house if they're ordered to by the Luciferians with the black robes and the witch's court. And I don't apologize for saying what I just said. That's what they are. They're pigs and they're thieves and they're murderers, because you can starve somebody to death slowly by attrition. This is why this is their game. They know if they start just offing people like they do in China, there's 100 million people with firearms that are going to really have a big problem with that. So they do it slowly by attrition. They take a few houses here. They suck someone in there. They bankrupt a business over there. They put a landlord out of business over here. I mean, where are the handicapped people going to have to rent if all these landlords are out of business? There's going to be no place left for them. I mean, it's gotten to the point where it's obviously this is a genocide, what's going on. The United States is being literally murdered and destroyed.
at the ground level. The tyranny of the locals already in place. It's almost too late for a top-down fix. It's going to require some serious stuff. It's going to require the Justice Department to open, to allow thousands, tens of thousands of civil rights violations and lawsuits to go forward that would not have gone forward unless there was somebody truly freedom-minded in office. In other words, unless you give the people recourse at a federal level against the state tyranny, well, what good's it going to do if Trump does any fixing at the federal level? New York State's already a complete shithole. Sorry about the language, John. But it's the only way to describe it, and it's got to be said. We're past the children's hour here. It's coming up on 11 o'clock. But it's an outhouse. And the tyranny of the local, I can make the case. Look around you, folks. The tyranny of the local is far worse than the tyranny of the federal right now. The tyranny of the federal is more visible. It's more overt. It can be more, you know, it can be more visible. You get the Wacos and you get the Bundys and stuff like that. That type of stuff goes on at the state and county level by dozens of instances like that every single day that just don't have the big airplay and the big epic standoff. But the same type of thing. How are you going to fix the tyranny in New York State when that's in place? The only way is recourse at the federal lawsuit level. And I don't foresee Jeff Sessions allowing thousands of lawsuits to go forward against the New York State Police, the Witches Court, all these state Supreme Court agencies that say, oh, our judicial procedure law trumps your constitutional provisions and protections. The hell it does. That's the biggest lie from the pit of hell. And the bar is the main infiltration mechanism of the Crown of England. That's how they've taken this country back, through the banking establishment and the printing of the currency and the bar. All these drug laws and all these statutes and all the 750,000 regulations on small business in New York that I was moaning about during the last half hour. How are you going to get that to go away if the state doesn't repeal it? You know, federal government can't just repeal a state law. They can do executive orders and say it's unconstitutional or you should not do this or that. But really the only recourse is to allow the thousands of people, hundreds of thousands probably by now, the tyranny is so bad, of people to sue the government, the state government and federal court. And 9 out of 10 times the federal judges are going to circle the wagons and not. I've seen it happen. People go in with valid, legitimate, good lawsuits, tight, ready to go. They either get buried at the bottom of the pile so they don't hear your case for 5 or 6 years, or they come out with a quick ruling that says you don't have any standing. That's it. And I know from people involved firsthand, federal judges taking payoffs to make drug charges go away, judges sleeping with people to get their family members off. You know, it's just one judge. We had a judge, Dinalfo, here, who claimed he didn't know that he was one of three people listed as a board of directors of a local corporation. Are you kidding me? You think you're going to put the name of a state Supreme Court judge in New York as one of your board members and get away with it without him knowing? And no, you'd wind up in the witch's prison long, long ago. These are liars, and they're thieves, and they're scumbags, and they only are allowed to run for office if they are liars and thieves and scumbags. Once again, Donald Trump didn't run with a political party called the Republicans. Republican is not a party. That's a lie from the pit of hell. It's not the Republican Party. It's the Republican Corporation. And when Donald Trump signed on, he signed on to run, and this is why they knew, if we can get a businessman, yeah, he'll understand. He'll keep running this like a business, running it into the ground like a business. The United States of America is not supposed to be a business or a corporation. And when Donald Trump signed on the dotted line to run on the Republican corporation ticket, he signed it. And I wouldn't want to even read the fine print on that. I'm sure it says you're going to do this, you can't do that. And you have these Republican corporation board members as part of the team. And that's why he brought in all these scumbags like Pubis and all these other jackasses who are obviously enemies of freedom. I don't see how Tillerson is the CEO of Exxon. The combination of Exxon and Mobil is somehow a friend of freedom. I just don't believe it when I see it. Based on his comments about the global world order, it's not looking good. But anyway, I hear music. Looks like we're coming up to the top of the hour. Stay with us. This is Eric and Keith on Resurrect the Republic, being broadcast on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay with us. More to come.
I'm not interested in photo ops.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.